Please turn to the book of Genesis, to the 16th chapter. The sermon text is actually the entire chapter, and I will read very quickly the whole of chapter 16. Tragedy of a Double Mind, based on Genesis 16, the entire chapter. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, that is Hagar, she, Hagar, fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram.
Let us look at our text in Genesis 16. We realize here, as we have read the text, of how Sarai and Abraham had a family problem. The problem was that of Sarah's barrenness. The point to note is in the title, The Tragedy of a Double Mind. The Lord has given to his people families, and to the head of the family as a decision maker, as a leader, a guide, an example, and how Abraham had failed in these. And today it is so important for all of us to understand this, that if fathers do not stand up and take the lead, we are finished. Families are finished. Societies are gone. The nation will go to the dogs. It's a slow process. It builds up. It gathers momentum. Today, we see in our society, even in our schools, you can see the young ones. One teacher shared with me, in the tertiary education, you cannot report 15 minutes later than when the class starts. On purpose, they'll smoke, they'll talk, they'll gather together just outside the class, just outside the vicinity. And then, about 14 minutes, just about time, snuff out their cigarettes, all this, and the whole lot will troop in. All this in order to defy authority. This is only one example. We have many, many examples. Because parents are busy. Family needs are not met. Relationship is so-so. Because we are so occupied, making a living, getting on in life. That's the tragedy. And so the headship of the family is so very important. It must be consultative. It must be relational. It must be firm, strong, loving, biblical. That's it. The predicament, as we read in verse 1 here, now Sarai, Abraham's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Sarai was barren. We know that from chapter 11. Barrenness was a curse. In those days, even in our Chinese society, this was a well-known fact. We want to produce children, and to the Chinese, to carry on the family surname, we must produce sons. Daughters will not do. That's the kind of mindset. And so they had a problem. The couple had a problem. What's the solution? The predicament, the solution. Look at verse 2. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my handmaid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. Well, proxy. Children by proxy. Sarai was 75 years old. Abraham, 85. The family decision or discussion, was it good? Yes, it's good. The head and the helpmeet must meet together, discuss. The children, bring them in after certain decisions are agreed upon, certain ways of dealing with things, and then call a family council. But the two of them met, and it was good, right? But the fact is this, the question was in their mind. Lord, how long must we wait? Maybe God has forgotten. Does God need a reminder? Does God not know even the thoughts and intents of our hearts? Of course He does. And just back then, in chapter 15, if you just turn and flip back a little, you look at verse 4, right? And behold, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham, saying, this shall not be thy heir, not Eliezer of Damascus, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thy heir. What happened? God reiterated His promise. Not man's timing, God's timing. God says so, God will fulfill it. God's word will come to pass, no matter what. And so you have this situation and this solution proposed by the helpmeet. Maybe we need to help God. God help those who help themselves. But we forget the promises of God. You see, when we deviate from God's word and we try to impose our own understanding upon God's word, we're in trouble. Never allow that. Well, maybe after much discussion, maybe past much persuasion. Since the Lord had restrained me, true or not? Was Sarah's word true? What did the Lord say? From thine own bowels. How can God contradict His word? And so there goes. It was Sarah's own thinking. So Abraham's rejection was that he believed God. In Genesis chapter 15 verse 6, Abraham believed God. It was accounted to him for righteousness. But what happened? When the situation calls for it, this man dare not stand up. Maybe he thought of his future. Maybe he thought of his heir. Why? Maybe he thought God needed some help. Maybe the maybes. No. God's word is firm. Never deviate. Never question God's word. It is there and it will stand. And so it's very, very clear. Go in unto my handmaid. This handmaid was an Egyptian. But it came out. Abraham came out of Egypt, remember? That was a sinful act, remember? He went down to Egypt and then came out. What did he brought along? Well, some Egyptian maid to attend to my family. You know, cleaning, doing our chores. That's it. Why not a Jewish? No. Never mind, Egyptian. Easier. That's the problem. Sin followed. So Egyptian maid came on. Was it right to go unto my maid? Marry her? Well, in the ancient Near East, this was a practice. It's a Nuzi tablet. It's the Hammurabi code. We see that. Even in our Chinese culture, right? They say this. If you can't produce well, take your servant, take your maids. That was a practice, right? Until 1930s, they banished all the slaves, right? In the British colony. I still remember my mom had 4 servant slaves. She passed on already. The last surviving maid was married on as somebody's second wife to produce children. Exactly the same thing. And this coming week, I'll be driving to Pahang. I'll visit her. She's in her late 80s. A slave girl. Exactly the same thing. So I understand. Because it was in my family. My grandmother disposed of all the maids. Sent 2 home to China. 1 don't know what happened. This auntie staying in Pahang now. She was sent there to be the wife, second wife of a plantation owner, rubber plantation owner, in order to produce children. That's it. Alright? So I'm very, very familiar with this. Alright. So, Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarah. You see, when you leave God's word, you go along with suggestions and maybes and all that, all the excuses. Fine, let's go. Right? The failure. The predicament, the solution, the failure. And Sarai, Abraham's wife, verse 3, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abraham dwelt 10 years in the land of Cana, and gave her to her husband Abraham to be his wife. Well, the predicament, the solution, the failure, to hearken to God's word, hearken to your wife, that's terrible. The bounce back. Look at verse 4. And Abraham, he went unto Hagar, and she conceived. Well, another problem. You see, when you do not do things right, it will come and haunt us. Sin is that way. Right? Be sure your sin will find you out. That's it. The bounce back. The conception. And when she saw that she had conceived, Now Hagar has now been elevated. The bounce back, the conception, and now the pride. It's a natural thing. Her mistress was despised in her eyes. Look at verse 4. Right? Pride cometh before a fall. Hagar forgot who she was. A lowly Egyptian slave. Who was Sarai? My mistress. The mistress of the house. Right? So it's a sad thing. She did what she did, and a natural thing. Pride welled up. You can't do anything about it. God bless me. God curse your womb. So I'm the blessed one. So who are you? You see? That's the kind of thing. It swells the heart. But then it also paved the way for a big heartache and subsequent headache, right? For those who are in this scenario here, right? Placing the brain. When we have a problem, finger pointing, right? From the day at the Garden of Eden, when God called Adam, what happened? The woman you gave me, right? He admitted his sin. Where was Adam when Eve took the fruit? That fruit? There. The same garden. And many believe he was right beside her. Not doing anything. Assenting. And also partaking of the fruit. You see, blame is so easy. We have a problem, we point a finger. Remember, when you have a problem, the next P is don't point a finger. Right? Look at ourselves. Examine why we are in such a place. Why am I in such a situation in life? Blame ourselves. Don't blame anyone. Look, am I to be blamed? Not who can I blame? Right? The beat, heartache and subsequent headache. Placing the brain. Sarai said unto Abraham, my wrong be upon thee. Woo! My wrong be upon thee. It's easy, right? I have given my maid into my bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. Right? You are the head. You never took the lead. You got me in trouble. You see? Because of irresponsible headship. You should have instructed me, but you went along with me. Now I'm this problem. You are the one to be blamed. Look, what is this she's doing to me? Can't you do something about it? Sounds familiar in many homes. Right? Sounds familiar in many homes. Mother's love for the son is always very warm, very deep. Until the son gets married, the daughter-in-law comes in, and you have the problematic adjustments for the newlyweds, for the mother, usually, for the father, for the whole family. Set up our own families. That's the thing that people are doing. Right? Book your HDB flat early, and then you ship out. Even then, mommy will come. You have dinner? Where are you eating today? You know? Are you going out with your wife? Can we join you? Dad and I, we have a free evening. Ah. Sounds familiar. That's it. When she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. Wow. Forget it. Couples blame one another. The other evening I was walking home, crossing the traffic light. I heard a loud wail. What happened? This lady was shouting, yelling, losing her head and scolding and literally cursing the husband. Then I saw what happened. The couple probably quarreled. And the lady just walked off. The traffic light was red, so she was able to cross. Okay, she has a green light to cross. Just after her was a little, their family pet dog. The husband was walking behind. The light changed. The car came and took the dog off. You see, they were like that. And they got angry with one another. This is your responsibility. This is my responsibility. Don't care about the dog. You take care of the dog. She just walked off. Then now, moan and wail, point a finger. It's a sad thing. Family pet lost. Woe betide if he's a child. Right? You take care of him. That's it. I walk by. It's a sad thing. Now, righting the wrong. Look at verse 5. The Lord judge between me and thee. Now you jolly well set things right. The problem is yours from the start. That's why Abraham cannot say no. Abraham cannot push away the problem. As head of the house, he had to deal with it. You see? Right? Before God, be a man for once. Did Abraham take heed? Look at the next verse, verse 6. Giving the authority to act. But Abraham, but, you see, a contrast. Abraham said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleases thee. Throw back the responsibility. Then I'll face the problem. Then I'll call Hagar up. Settle the feud between the two ladies and say, look, positionally you're mistress. Positionally you're slave. Alright? Please, maintain order in the home. No, I dare not do it. You go and do it. Passing the buck. Abraham somehow shirked his responsibility. He did not resolve the problem. He pushed it away. You do your part. You think it's my problem? No. Okay. I wash my hands. You go and deal with. Sounds familiar, right? We have a problem in life. Yeah. I got nothing to do with it. Don't go and tell me. You go and deal. Alright. She scolded you. She despised you. Now you go and deal with her. Giving the authority to act, dealing without grace nor mercy. Look at verse 6 now. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, the word there is harshly with Hagar. Right? She fled from her face. It was a natural thing. Oh, give me the authority, that's it. You know? I just give her the best that I can give. And of course, naturally, she responded by fleeing away. Right? Wow, it's a sad thing. Look at verse 7. Alone, yet not alone. See, God will not forsake his own. And the angel of the Lord, that's the first mention of the angel of the Lord in the Bible. But it's definitely of God if you look at the verses to follow. Okay? Because in verse 12 it says, thou God seest me and I have seen the Lord. Right? I've seen God. So this definitely is the second person of the Holy Trinity, the angel of the Lord. That's how the Lord Jesus Christ, Christophany in the Old Testament. The Lord is gracious. The angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. So God, the Lord is full of compassion, merciful and gracious. There was the divine presence with Hagar, all because of Abraham, under the Abrahamic covenant. Okay? Divine query. Look at verse 8. And he said, the angel of the Lord said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, when camest thou? And whither thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. Hagar, Sarah's maid. How significant are these words? Hagar, what? Who are you? Sarah's maid. What are you doing here? You're not fulfilling your responsibility. Where are you? In the wilderness. You should be at home, working, serving your master, your mistress. Where are you? Whence camest thou? Right? A reminder to put her in place. You are where we are because of our sins, because of our pride. And in many cases, it's the same. Always ask us, why am I in this predicament? Is it pride? Is it sin that brought me in this such a position? Ask ourselves. Right? And so here, very clearly, it says, the angel of the Lord found her and asked her this question, divine query. And she said, right, I'm a runaway. Without security, home, future. Right? What pride does to us? Deprive us of all of God's blessing. But we thank God. He still is there for us. Right? And so the same thing. Divine counsel. The Lord saw the heart. She took the Lord's word into her heart, I believe, because this was what the divine counsel told her to do. The angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hand. Know our position, know our place, know our duties, know our responsibilities. And if we have done wrong, repent. Alright? And so God was gracious to point Hagar to the right way. To go and return. The right thing to do. Return to the place where you belong. And then repent of your pride. Your sinful pride. Right? So submit thyself under her hand. And rightfully so, Sarah is still the mistress of the house. You see, as Christians, we must recognize all authority. Every authority as ordained by God. And in the case of Hagar and Sarai, she's the handmaid. She's still the mistress. Positionally, we must understand this. We respect all governments. We respect the flag. We respect the authority God has placed over us. And pray for them. Uphold them. And we obey everything until and unless it goes against the will and the word of God. Alright? And so we carry on. Divine counsel. God was so gracious. His presence and he pointed the way. Divine prediction. God was gracious to pronounce a blessing. Look at that. Divine prediction. First, a nation of people. Look at verse 10. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. So Hagar, don't worry. There will be a line out of you. A nation of people, a name for your son. Look at verse 11. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael. Right, God will hear. God will hear. Because the Lord had heard thy affliction. God is so gracious, understands us. God sees and knows our thoughts and intents, right? And every trial and every struggles in life. And so ministered so very specifically to her. Direct her away. And divine prediction was that a nation will come out of her. The name of her son will be a reminder that God hears her, heard her. And then a vocation for your son. Look at verse 12. He will be a wild man. And here, quite a little difficult interpretation here. Some say it's a warlike race, a warlike people. Some would say that it's a free roaming people, like the Arabs, the nomads, you know. And his hand will be against every man, look at verse 12, and every man's hands against him. Right? And so here means ability to defend and repel enemies. Right? In the day, it is very, very critical. Because In those days, right is mine. If I'm stronger than you, I just conquer you. That's it. I take everything off you. Right is mine. No, might is right. And so be able to defend yourself is very, very important. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren, yet as a distinct people, the Ishmaelites. The presence here also has the implication of setting before the face. Literally, it's before your face, against you. And so here, some commentators say that Ishmael will produce a line, a race of people that will be against the Jews. His people, the Abrahamic line is the Jewish line, right? Of course, under the but of course we are part now. And then here, of course, is the Ishmaelites, the other line. So sense of hostility, of enmity, right? Hagar's response, look at verse 13. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, "Thou God seest me." Right? She was humble and she responded with an appreciative heart. The stress here emphasized not on the omniscience of God, which everybody know, but appreciative of God's gracious condescension to appear and minister unto her in the form of the angel of the Lord. For she said, "Have I also here looked after him that seeth me?" After who? After whom? Who? That's God. God sees everything. God knows everything. Right? And in those days, if you see God, you die. Right? Manoah, you know? Perhaps we will perish. Okay? "We shall surely die, for I have seen God." Right, in Samson's father, Manoah. So, woe is me, you have seen God. But yet God was so gracious, I was able to see the angel of the Lord and not be struck dead. Look at verse 14. "Wherefore the well was called Beer La Hai Roi." Here literally is the well of the living and seeing. Right? And so it commemorated how Hagar responded. And Hagar's restoration was full in verse 15 and 16. Hagar bare Abraham a son, and Abraham called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abraham was 86. From 85 this incident started, and when the time she bore Ishmael, Abraham was 86. As I started off, I hope you remember. The family will be blessed if we do not shirk our responsibility. Head of the house, we better stand strong. As an example, as a witness for the Lord. As helpmeet, we must also understand. Support the head. Not say, "You are the head, I'm the neck, I turn the head, so you follow me." Right? That's the normal thing. Did Abraham learn his lesson? I hope we learn our lesson. I'd like us to turn to chapter 18. Abraham being man of God, he learned his lesson. Remember the time where Abraham begged for Sodom and God sent his angel to destroy the twin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? This is the context. Look at verse 17 of Genesis 18. "And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" That's the destruction of these twin cities. "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." Verse 19 is what I want to tell you, want to highlight. "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him." I believe it was a tough lesson. It was a big headache and heartache, I believe, for Abraham. But he learned that lesson well. And I hope today it goes down with you. We must learn. Keep an open mind. Put the Word of God in our lives, into our families, into our heads of the family. Let us pray. Our gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, keep us in thy love and care. Bless all the families represented here, that the headship will not be usurped, that they will exert their authority in love according to biblical principles, in consultative way and with firmness, to always honor the Lord and his word, and to keep the family in the fear of God, to nurture them and to be a witness to them. O Lord, we pray, thou wilt strengthen and bless each one of us. Even the rest of this week, undertake for us. Apply these lessons into our very hearts and lives. For we pray and ask all these things, giving thee thanks. In Jesus' most blessed name we pray. Amen.